text verse that we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says that we as Christians are in a war. He said we walk in the flesh, but our war is not in the flesh. It's a spiritual war. In fact, let me read a couple verses that Paul also wrote to the church at Ephesus from Ephesians chapter 10. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read three verses, verses 10 through 12 in Ephesians chapter 6, where he writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Bill referred to it in his testimony. If you make known where you stand for Christ, you're going to run into opposition. If you make known that of your love for Christ, you're going to run into opposition, because the world doesn't love Christ. The world doesn't want us serving Christ. The devil doesn't want us serving Christ. And he will do everything he can to discourage us. He will do everything he can to make us a casualty of this war that we're in as Christians. I preached tonight on the subject, how to avoid being a casualty of war, because we are in a war as Christians. Paul encourages us to be good soldiers. He wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he writes this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." And again, you may not have realized this, and I'm sure you do, but when you were chosen in Christ and when you got saved, you became a soldier in his army. You became a soldier in this spiritual war. And again, this war, just like any other war, and again, somebody mentioned to me this morning that how many veterans that we had in our church this morning. I said, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Stretched from side to side and around the side. And those of you that were in the Army, whether in wartime or peacetime, know that there's always the possibility of getting injured. There's always the possibility of getting killed in conflict as a member of the Army. And so, again, the same is true in our spiritual war. Satan would like nothing better for us to become casualties of war. And so tonight, I have 7 points tonight that I want to mention to you about how to avoid becoming a casualty in this war that we fight. Glenda's looking at her watch already. Don't worry, the Dairy Queen stays open till 10 o'clock, and we'll be out of here before then. But 7 things, so you can keep track of where I am as I go along by the numbers. So number one, if you want to avoid being a casualty of war, put on the uniform. Put on the uniform. Putting on the uniform doesn't make you a soldier. You wear one because you are a soldier. The uniform that you put on identifies which side you're on. I read a story a couple weeks ago about a guy that was in the Civil War, and he wanted to have the best of both sides. So he put on a blue coat and he put on gray pants. You know what happened? Both sides shot at him. The Confederates shot him in the chest, and the Yankees shot him in the legs. So the uniform that you wear identifies you as to what side you're on. It sets you apart from the enemy. So what's the uniform that we wear in this spiritual war that we're in? What's the uniform that identifies us with Christ? Well, the first thing we experienced this morning, baptism. If you're a Christian, you ought to go ahead and get baptized. As I mentioned this morning, baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's a way of identifying with Christ. It's a way of telling the world, hey, I'm on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in his army. So, again, baptism is part of the uniform. Another thing that's part of the uniform is church membership. You ought to find a church that God leads you to, and you ought to join that church. You ought to identify with a local assembly of believers called the church. And then the uniform that we wear, David talked about it in his testimony tonight. I was getting worried as Bill was testifying, as David was testifying, I'm not going to have nothing to preach about. But I figure God wanted you to hear it more than once, and so he got you ready by their testimonies. But the other part of the uniform is the way we live. It's the words that we say. It's how we conduct our business. It's how we conduct our life. People ought to look at us, and they ought to look at how we dress, how we talk, how we think, and the things that we do, and they ought to know what side we're on. I remember the first time I heard David Gibbs. He's a Christian lawyer. He's gotten older now, and his son has sort of taken over his practice, I think, although I think he's still involved. And I remember the first time I heard him speak. He spoke as a lawyer at a Christian meeting, and the point that he made, he said this: if you went on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence from your life that you could be convicted? Boy, that just stuck me. He said, if you went on trial as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you guilty of that charge? And again, that's what I'm trying to say tonight. People ought to be able to look at us, they ought to be able to listen to us, and they ought to know what side we're on. They ought to be able to look at our values. They ought to be able to look at our priorities. They ought to be able to look at how we spend our time and know which side we're on. I was visiting with Brother Harry on Friday night. The family had left, and again, we were having a good time. And this nurse kept coming in and going out. Of course, he was still in critical care, and so they were checking on him and make sure and everything was okay. And we were just talking to have a good time. They kicked me out because they were getting ready to do something. And I walked out, and this nurse stopped me. She said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Well, sure you can." She said, "You two guys are Christians, aren't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, we are. How do you know?" She said, "Well, every time I came in, you were talking about the Lord." And Brother Harry was doing most of the talking, wasn't me. But you're talking about the Lord. He was telling me the story of his father-in-law, Carol's, what he was talking about, Glenda. He was telling me the story of your dad, about how he got saved and how he got called to preach. And he was just going down the line. And I said, "Yes, we are. We're Christians and we're proud of it. We're not ashamed of our Savior." And I gave her one of our little cards. I said, "Hey, if you'd like to come to church with us, here's where we are. Come and visit with us." But that's how it ought to be. People ought to be able to look at us and know whose side we're on, that we're on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. So put on the uniform. As David said in his testimony, you can't say one thing and do something else. People, both sides are going to shoot you. Just like that guy in the gray and blue suit. Put on the uniform. Serve Jesus Christ. Identify with him. Number two, attend the briefings. You know, in war, you have briefings every so often. I was never in the military, but I know the leaders got together and they would make plans and then they would pass them down the line. And again, I don't know if it's the generals would tell the colonels or the colonels would tell the generals and the admirals would tell the lieutenants and the captains and all that other stuff. But the briefings were where they made their plans. And the briefings were where they shared their plans. And the briefings were where they shared their strategy. And the briefing was where they shared their battle plan. This is how we're going to fight. This is how we're going to win this war. In the briefings, they talked to you about the enemy. They helped you identify the enemy. They talked about the strategy that the enemy was going to use. In the briefings, you got encouragement. Sometimes we seem to be losing the war. And in those briefings, they would come in and they would encourage the leaders so that they could encourage the soldiers. Well, the same thing happens in spiritual warfare. We need to come to the briefings. We have a briefing, a couple of them on Sunday every week, and we have a briefing on Wednesday night where we do the same things. Where we talk about how we're going to win this battle, about how we're going to win this war. We come and talk about the enemy so that we can be better prepared to fight that enemy. We come to get encouraged. That the war, it may seem that we may be losing a battle or two, but the ultimate victory is ours. And you get that in the briefings. Amen. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that are skipping the briefings. And if you want to become a casualty of war, then go ahead and skip the briefings. But if you want to avoid becoming a casualty, then come to the briefings. Come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time the door is open, there's a lot of Christians that have gone AWOL, absent without leave, from the briefings. And again, if you want to become a casualty, fine. But if you want to stay alive, if you want to stay productive, if you want to stay doing what God wants you to do, you need to come to the briefings. Number three, use the weapons. Use the weapons. Some of you were in the service when we were actually fighting wars. You were in combat. How foolish it would have been for you as a soldier to go into combat against the enemy and not carry your gun, not carry your rifle, not carry your hand grenades. Trace was up here looking at this knife and hand grenade this morning, and he turned to Hayden. He said, Hayden, I heard him. He said, you think that hand grenade is real? And I said, I hope not, Trace. The knife is probably real, but I hope the hand grenade is not real. But listen, how foolish it would be for a soldier to go into war and not take his weapon. I mean, if you're going to go fight an enemy, take your gun. Load the gun. By the way, practice with your gun so that when you get into battle and pull the trigger, you can hit him right between the eyes, just like David did Goliath. And again, in our spiritual warfare, we sometimes are foolish because we go into war, the spiritual war, and we don't take our weapons. If we take them, we haven't studied them, we haven't practiced with them. What are our weapons in this spiritual war? This book is one of our weapons. I read from Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's one of our weapons. We're in a battle. I've never been in battle. I've watched a lot of movies. I've seen soldiers the night before they go into battle take their gun apart and clean it because they might want to make sure that when they pull the trigger, it'll shoot and shoot straight. Well, look, we're in a battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Don't you think we ought to take the same care with our weapons? Don't you think we ought to know our weapons? Don't you think we ought to read this book? Don't you think we ought to memorize this book? Don't you think we ought to be able to explain this book? This is one of our weapons in this war that we're in. Prayer is another weapon. James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why? Look, a soldier wouldn't go into war without being prepared. Why would we go into our war without being prepared? Why would we face a day without first spending time in prayer? Why would we face a day without first getting on our knees and begging God to help us as we fight the battle that day? Look, most of us don't take the war we're in serious. We don't take it serious. Every day we're in a battle. Every day the cause of Christ needs to be stood up for and defended by the soldiers in the army of God. We need to get into this book. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to beg the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, filled with the Spirit of God. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, use your weapons. Number four, know the enemy. Know the enemy. We have an enemy without and we have an enemy within. We read about the enemy without. It's Satan. It's the devil. He wants to defeat us. The enemy within is the old nature that every one of us was born with. The old man that the Bible speaks about. Well, I'll tell you tonight, the enemy without Satan works on the enemy within, the old man. The devil is going to try to get you into situations that appeal to your old man. David, I'll just use you since you shared your testimony. Who do you think keeps bringing that desire for cigarettes into your life? I mean, you have that old man that lives inside of you that loves to smoke. And again, that old man, the fire of that old man is stoked by the devil. Because the devil knows that if he can keep you concerned and worried and yet still smoking, that he's got you right where he wants you. And the same, the thing that's true is the same for him. It's the same for all of us. We have some sins that our old man enjoyed. And Satan will keep appealing to that old man to try to get us to stay in that sin. And Satan, he's tricky. He doesn't always tell the truth. He mixes in enough untruths to convince us that what he's saying is right. That's why Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." This war to Satan, he's not complacent about it. He thinks about it all the time. He lays strategy all the time to make us casualties of war. We don't think about that. I mean, we don't think about it enough. We have somebody that's trying to destroy us. We have somebody that's trying to destroy our testimony. We have somebody that's trying to destroy our service for God. And we need to know that he's out there and that we have power within us that's greater than he. Greater is he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. Number 5, don't listen to the enemy's broadcast. In World War II, it was Axis Sally and Tokyo Rose. In Vietnam, it was Hanoi Hannah. They broadcast their propaganda. It was directed at Americans to try to get them discouraged about the war, to try to get them discouraged about the cause, to try to get them to quit. And so, don't listen to the enemy broadcast. Don't listen to the enemy. There's a lot of things that we allow to come into our life that are sent by Satan. And instead of turning them off and putting them aside, we let what he says and we let what he shows us to come into our ear gate and to come into our eye gate. Satan's not trying to build you up. He's not trying to make you stronger. He's trying to tear you down. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to get you to quit. Listen, don't listen to him. Just turn it off. You say, well, how do I turn Satan off? Well, you watch what you listen to on the radio. You watch what you watch on television. You watch the books that you read. You watch the magazines that you read. Yeah, you watch the things that Satan uses to get into your life. And then second, is part of this point, don't listen to traitors. There are traitors in this war. These traitors are people that take the blood out of the Bible. These traitors are people that say you can be saved another way than the Lord Jesus Christ. They are traitors to the cause of Christ. If you take the blood out, if you take Jesus Christ out, you do not have a gospel. So don't listen to them. Say, well, I like to hear what they're going to say. No, 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 no. You'd be a lot better off not to listen to them at all. Just turn them off. Don't watch them on TV. Don't listen to them on the radio. Don't give them a second of your time. Amen. Just don't do it. The enemy, again, is going to try to use that to get you confused, and there's enough truth in it that if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking about it, and pretty soon you'll start thinking like them. So don't listen to them. Number 6, don't get weary. There's a difference between getting tired and getting weary. When we work hard, we ought to get tired once in a while. At the end of the day, we ought to get to the end of the day, and we ought just to be tired. But don't get weary. Say, what's the difference between getting weary and getting tired? Getting weary is when you get tired too many days in a row. It's okay to get tired. And it may be okay to get tired on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, but take a break. I mean, even Jesus and his disciples got apart by themselves and rested. Even Jesus and his disciples stepped back from the crowd, stepped back from their ministry, said, hey, today we're just going to rest. Today we're going to be by ourselves. Today we're not going to interact with the crowds. We're going to rest. And again, it's a wonderful thing to work. It's a wonderful thing to serve Christ. But I want to tell you tonight, everybody needs to go to the mountaintop. Everybody needs to get by themselves. Everybody needs to be refreshed. It's okay to take a vacation every now and then. It's okay to go out into the woods with your gun and shoot those innocent deer every now and then. Dan come over and told Chun Yin, said, those deer taste better than they look. And she said, oh, no. No. And by the way, we need to pray for all the hunters in our church that are getting ready to go into the woods with their guns. Thousands of men in the woods with their guns shooting through the trees. We need to pray that the Lord will keep them safe. So don't get weary. Take a break every now and then. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then number 7, I close with this one. Don't pay too much attention to your wounds. Imagine with me a soldier that's in battle. He's wounded, gets shot in the leg, gets shot in the arm. The natural reaction would be to lay down your gun and moan and cry. But the enemy is still coming. If the battle is still raging, go ahead and moan and go ahead and cry, but don't put your gun down. Keep it aimed. Keep it cocked. Pull the trigger. Keep shooting at the enemy. Same things happen to us in our Christian life. We get hurt. We get upset about something. And we moan and cry, and that's okay. But when we moan and cry and drop out of the battle, then it's not okay. We're going to get wounded in this war. We're going to get hurt in this war. But too many of us spend too much time thinking about our wounds instead of thinking about how am I going to fight the next fight? How am I going to battle in the next battle? And again, the wounds that we sustain in this spiritual war are not physical wounds. They are wounds to our feelings. They are wounds to our egos. They are wounds to our emotions. And yeah, I know, sometimes they hurt as much as physical wounds. But those wounds to your feelings and to your egos and to your emotions won't kill you. Don't let them slow you down. You're still in the battle. You still need to keep moving forward. If you quit just because you get wounded, you're going to be a casualty of war, because Satan will ensure that you get wounded. He'll ensure that you get hurt one way or another. But we don't have to be a casualty. We can endure hardness as a good soldier, as Paul tells Timothy. We can beat the devil and we can beat the world. We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. We need to keep serving him. We need to keep fighting. We're in a war. Let's be good soldiers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Help us to realize that we are in a battle. It's not a physical battle. It's not a battle of the flesh, but it's a spiritual battle. We don't battle flesh, we battle principalities, we battle the darkness, the forces of darkness, we battle Satan. And Father, we know sometimes it looks like we're losing the battle, but Father, help us to realize we'll never lose the war, because we are guaranteed victory through our captain, through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us fight. Help us not to become a casualty of war. Help us to keep serving you as long as we live. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, you've been working on their heart. You've shown them they're a sinner. You've shown them the penalty for that sin. Show them the price that Jesus paid for them, the price that he paid for their sin. Show them the gift that he offers to every single person, the gift of life. And Father, if there is just, even if there's just one person here tonight among the many people that are here that need to be saved, help them to make that decision tonight to receive Christ, to become a soldier in his army, to battle these forces that we've been talking about. Bless the invitation. Father, use it to build your kingdom. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.